Okay, so tonight...
Can I still do more in the cans?
Dear listeners...
It's still very quiet.
Jason Mantzoukas is my dear friend, and he's also a very experienced podcaster, and we're going to talk about that in a second, but he's also very demanding towards Sweet Mike.
Mm-hmm.
He needs more in the cans. We don't even know what cans means.
Oh, man, we're wearing these cans on our heads. Come on, guys.
Yeah, we don't know what the hell's going on, Jason. Okay, but listen, Jason and I did a movie called The Dictator together.
Yeah.
And he
Sacha
basically...
Baron Cohen.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, and you saved me, as you know that, because it was such a male-driven... I didn't have any friend. It was a lonely experience for me because I really didn't have... any sort of female buddies, and you were kind enough to pretend to
be a woman and be your friend. You made me dress up Tootsie style and be your gal pal. Ugh.
I know, after a long day's work.
I'd have to go to hair and makeup at the end of the day to take off all the makeup they put on and put on girl makeup so that we could go out gal paling around at night.
But you also did Parks and Recreation with my husband Chris.
I did.
And you're brilliant. You're just brilliant all around. And you have the most amazing podcast. And
The League, which is one of my all-time favorite TV shows.
Oh, that's awesome.
Fantastic.
Yeah,
absolutely loved you on The League.
You also have an upcoming movie called Search Party, which opens May 13th.
Oh, that's true.
Are you excited about that?
I am. That's one of those movies that we shot many years ago that never came out and now is coming out. So
why did it take so long?
Don't know. It's one of those like weird, I don't know.
Maybe it's ahead of its time.
Probably ahead of its time. I'm excited it's coming out. A friend of mine wrote and directed it, Scott Armstrong.
Old school.
Exactly.
And Road Trip.
Yep. Good dude. Like another guy that I came up doing comedy in the UCB New York scene, and he and I, along with a number of other people, were on the same improv group for like 8 years, you know? So it was nice to be able to like, we did improv together in the basement of a graffiti supermarket for many years. And now you're making a movie and I'm in it. So that's
isn't
cool.
That wild.
It's neat.
It is wild how this town works.
Yeah.
I mean, it can totally like chew you up and spit you out or whatever, but can also people that you know it would like the assistant to craft service is suddenly producing a big movie.
It's amazing. Absolutely.
It kind of, I like to think of it, it like sort of gives me hope that, you know, that
sure,
I could still stay in the game for a little while.
I think you're doing just fine.
No, it's
thanks,
over.
Sim, but fuck you.
It's over for
oh,
you.
Oh,
yeah.
Thank God.
I just got a text.
From my agent?
From the town.
From the town.
From the town.
Hollywood says.
I got a text from Showbiz, and it said, tell Anna, it's dunzo.
It's done?
Dunzo is what they said.
I need more bleach extensions. What do I do? Okay.
More bleach.
More bleach. Okay, so we are going to now do the... Oh, Sim, having trouble with this.
All right, let me see.
We're going to...
watching the inner workings of this.
Yeah, the inner workings. This is a very underproduced show.
That's the beauty of it.
It is. It is the beauty. It's the beauty of it.
The beauty of it is that it's folksy.
I'm going to tell it to the town.
You know, here we
I'm
are.
I'm underproduced.
Here we are. We're sitting at your dining room table.
You.
Amongst friends.
Okay, so this is... Yes, I know. We're dear friends here today.
Just dear, dear friends.
I have to say that Sim's brother, Severe, is here. And I've been trying to get him on the podcast for a long time because he loves to talk shit about Sim, which I do too, even though Sim is like one of my best friends. But... anyway, so he's here, and I'm getting him prepped for
I don't even
to actually get a microphone
he's
on him
no,
at some point.
She's
so,
a shy one.
Come on, the opportunity to talk shit about Sim. Come on,
that could be a recurring segment of this show.
It sort of is.
If you listen to the any of the episodes,
Severe talk shit,
talking shit,
Severe's talk shit about Sim. Okay, so this is a not so rapid fire series of mm-hmm. questions. Okay, it
terrific.
Was recently April Fool's Day. Tell us about the most elaborate April Fool's Day prank you've ever been a part of or experienced.
I don't have a good answer for this because I can't think of one.
Okay, then move
that
on.
I've ever been like that. I've ever been like an active part of.
Oh, you're not much of a prankster.
I'm not.
I'm not either.
I'm not a prankster. I don't like pranks.
Me neither.
I don't like.
It's so weird that we were casting the dictator.
I know, right? Isn't that interesting?
Yes.
I don't. I never liked prank shows when that was like a very popular thing.
I didn't like. I wanted people to be a part of the joke,
yes,
as opposed to
totally
being
the butt of.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's a tough. It's a tough position, and I always feel bad for the mark. You know,
yeah.
I always feel bad for the person who is being pranked.
I have a dear friend who I won't mention, but she called her agent and said that a very, very high-powered studio executive that everyone, you know, is very name familiar, she met him at a party.
Ooh, and Louis B. Mayer. Was it Louis B. Mayer?
And he stuck,
I bet it was Louis B.
He
Mayer.
He stuck his finger up her butt.
What?
And
Louis B. Mayer did? Whoa.
And
wait, this is a story about your friend.
This is a story. My friend calls
her
agent.
Is it Dame Judi Dench?
My friend
is it DJD? I bet it's Dame Judi Dench. I can't believe Louis B. Mayer put his finger in Dame Judi Dench's butthole. And Anna, you are saying that unequivocally here on the podcast.
So he said, call me back on a landline. Right now. And she was like, oh my God, it's like April 1st. Like, why, yeah, why would he think? Anyway, became a whole thing. But I thought the guts, like, that is such, that's, yeah, a perfect mark. Your agent,
yes,
is a perfect mark.
That's like, and you know what? If I thought about it more, I would totally do pranks like that. Very easy ones like, mm-hmm, that. But no, I can't. I'm not. I also don't think of pranks. I also don't think of like, ooh, that person has left the room. This is an opportunity to fuck with someone. You know, like, I don't think like that, you know?
It's because you're a kind man.
I'm very kind. I'm a sweet, sweet man.
Okay, so Anita Francis on Facebook wants to know, F...
She needs a Francis?
Marry or kill.
I need a Francis.
Which we can say, fuck, marry or kill.
Yeah.
And
but Anita doesn't. She's a classy broad.
Anita is. Okay, Jason Sudeikis.
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 Oh, boy.
And I adore him.
Wow. Jason Sudoku.
I blame Sim. He wrote these notes.
I wrote Sudeikis.
Jason Bateman. Jason Statham.
Wow.
Yeah. Doing good.
This is a podcast that I think is revealing that you cannot read.
I know. It's true.
I think the revelation in this,
yeah,
is that you have spent a lot of time looking at an iPad
so
confusedly.
True. I feel like I'm one of those actors. You know how you meet some of those actors that are like, oh, I'm dyslexic, but you really know that they can't read? I'm gonna start using that.
Or like you're somebody who like learns all your lines phonetically.
Yeah. Yeah, because your assistant tells you.
Yeah, because your assistant records them and then you just listen to them while you sleep.
Totally.
Wait, so I am F. Mary killing Sudeikis, Bateman, and Statham.
Yes.
Okay.
And feel free, you know, listen, this is not a question I would want to answer. So feel free to...
I think he wants to answer this.
Oh, I mean, I'm assuming I have to answer it.
You have to. It's true. Remember how he handcuffed your hands?
I would maybe... I'm trying to think. I think I would marry Bateman.
Uh-huh.
I don't know. I've met him. I don't know him very well, but he was a very nice man. So I feel like he'd be nice to be married to. I think I'd fuck Sudeikis.
Well, very fuckable.
And I think I'd kill
Statham
just so that I could kill Chev Chelios from the Crank movies. Do I get to kill him or he just dies?
I think you get to kill him.
I get to kill him. Okay, yeah. Then yeah, I have to kill. The idea that it's a foregone conclusion.
You're right, yeah.
That,
yeah,
I am winning because, yeah, the F, Mary, yeah, kill, right? So I guess I would kill Statham just for bragging.
It's
rights.
True.
I'd be like, I fucking killed the
transporter.
Yeah,
how would you kill him? You're right. Good.
I'd be a super badass at that point.
How would you kill
him? I mean, at that point, I could fuck as many Jasons as I wanted because they'd be like, did you hear he fucking killed Statham?
Oh.
I'd be like up to my eyeballs in Jason cock.
Jason Segel.
Yep.
Who else?
I think that's about it. Yeah. I think I'm the only one left.
Wait, is there a Jason Derulo? Does that make sense?
Jason Derulo? Yeah, there is, actually.
Yeah,
he's a singer. Yeah,
right.
Totally. Yeah, that's true. Oh, are we branching out to singers?
I guess we can.
Okay. I mean, I guess so. Wow. Then the sky's the limit. yeah, that's my answer.
All right,
Anita Francis.
Okay, so you co-host the hit podcast, How Did This Get Made?
Mm-hmm.
If you could star in any of the movies you've profiled on the show, what movie would it
I
be?
Would star in the movie Crank 2 as the character Chev Chelios that Jason Statham plays. And that it would have been the answer even if the previous question had not happened. Only because it is like one of the most bananas movies. I would love to be in that movie. I would love to be in any Neville Dean and Taylor like insane-a-thon that they put together. I think would be amazing.
What happens in Crank 2?
Crank 2 is... It's the one... Okay, so Crank 1, he... What is it? He has to keep his heart rate up above a certain amount right. or else he's going to explode, right? Yeah. Crank 2 is the same thing, but it's worse, but Bai Ling is in it. And she makes up all of her dialogue, and none of it makes sense.
Like,
but
like
it's
what?
Like it's like front to back. It's just a long, basically like one long, crazy action sequence, and that's what I love about it. It's just batshit crazy action sequences. And Neville Dean and Taylor, the guys that wrote and directed these movies, are famous for doing stuff like putting cameras on. Like on carts and then like ramming the camera and the cart into a car. And they're just crazy movies that are very fun to watch. So I am like, oh, I bet these would be fun to make. That's a pretty good one. I don't know.
All right. Well, we've got a couple more here.
Jean-Claude.
Bloodsport, love, but I don't have like real fighting technique and I feel like I'd have to be trained.
Right.
I don't know. A JCVD would probably kick my butt, you know.
Okay, so Danielle Brewer on Facebook wants
Danielle
to know.
Danielle or Daniel?
Danielle.
Am I answering a girl's question or a guy's question?
A girl.
It matters.
I believe.
Does it list her cup size?
36D.
Ooh. All right, Danielle. You've got my attention.
She on Facebook wants to know, what TV show could you watch reruns of forever?
Oh. Ooh, forever.
Forever.
Forever, ever? Forever,
ever?
Okay. I have a couple. I feel...
You gotta,
I have to pick one?
Yeah. Sorry.
Forever is tough. I have just rewatched all of Gilmore Girls, which I love, except for season 7, which I will not watch out of loyalty to the Paladinos. Because they were taken off of the show in season 7, so they were not allowed to finish their version of the show. People who are listening, Danielle gets it. Danielle and her big old titties, she gets it. Magnum P.I., favorite, all-time favorite. But I still watch that in reruns, and it is slow. So if I... I'm going to say... Twin Peaks.
Oh.
Really? It's an odd choice.
No, I'm not going to say Twin Peaks because season 2 really shits the bed. I'm not going to say Twin Peaks. Season 2 really craps out. West Wing? Nah. Huh.
You want to go?
Ooh, how about this? One show forever?
Yeah.
The Simpsons. Because there's like 22 years of it. So it's a lot. I'm not going to watch the same 12 episodes of TV. I'm going to watch, I have hundreds of episodes
to choose
from.
That was a really good answer. You so totally
and
wild
great.
Out of
yeah.
that one.
And it's great.
It is great.
It's consistently good. Even
and there is a huge amount of them.
Yeah. Even right. as it gets not as good, it's still pretty terrific.
Yeah,
you could watch it. I think you could watch it for a long time. South Park,
similar. I was
going to
say South Park would be in the same category.
South Park, similar. There's just more Simpsons is all.
Okay. So now we are going to do a brief improv segment.
Okay.
Jason.
Yes.
You have a business degree from Arizona State University. You're a major stoner that lives with your parents. Your jobs in the past have included working at Subway and Starbucks. Your parents have given you
What is this? This is a lot of information.
I need to give you backstory.
Really? For an improv? Okay.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. Do you not need to know your character?
No, I'm excited.
Okay. All right. Your parents have given you $8,500 to move out of their house. You decide to move to Los Angeles to get laid. A friend of your dad knows Karen Stapleton, the CEO of Imaginarium Films, the biggest competitor to DreamWorks. You heard there's an opening for Karen's second assistant, and this is your resume.
This right here?
Uh-huh. My first assistant, Donovan Sarna, is here to lead you to me, Karen.
Sure.
For your interview.
Hi, sure. Jason. Would you like something to drink before you see Karen?
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Sure. Like an Arnold Palmer? No. Just a water.
We don't have that. Okay, so you can actually see her right now. Here she is.
Oh, cool. Do I give this to you, the resume?
No, you can keep that with you. Keep that with you. Karen?
Donovan.
Jason's here.
Who?
Jason is here.
Oh.
Jason Mantzoukas.
Oh. Hello. Oh, hi. How do you do? I'm Karen. How do you do?
Wow.
I'm six,
huge fan.
Oh, thank you.
You guys do like the best stuff.
Thank you. We do. I'm glad. I'm glad you're passionate. That's important.
Oh,
always,
yeah,
in this industry.
Yeah. No, Joe, I've got a business degree.
Do you mind if I take a look at it?
What?
May I take a look at your resume?
Oh, sorry. Yeah. Here you go.
Thank you. Don't want to let go.
Oh, sorry.
All right. So I see here you have a business degree.
Business degree. Yeah.
What drove
Arizona
State University.
Uh-huh. ASU, number one party school.
I see. Yes.
I didn't party much, though.
Oh, no.
JK, I partied. But, like, that's behind me.
Oh.
Like, I'm ready to get to work now, mm-hmm, you know, in terms of working, because it's time to work.
Okay.
You know,
well, what
my
drives
dad's like,
you?
It's you're fucking around. Right. It's done. It's right. Time to work. Okay.
What drives you towards the movie industry?
Oh, you know, I just love movies. Always did. You know, like Die Hard, favorite movie. Like, so good. Mm-hmm. Transformers. I think those are great movies. You know, movies are like, you know what? Movies are like something we all share together as people, as society, you know? It's, mm-hmm, like the great equalizer, you know? The movie, The Equalizer, Denzel Washington, you know, based on a TV show.
Mm-hmm. I see. And it says here that you were assistant manager at Subway,
yeah,
from 2009 to 2010.
Yeah. 2009 to, yeah. I mean, listen, I want to be honest with you. Like, 2009 to 2009. You know, I got fired December 29th, 2009. So it was about to be 2010. So I just put it as 2010.
I see.
But like, if you were to look into it, like, you would see that it's 2009 to 2009.
Okay. Thank you for your honesty.
No, I want to be honest just because, like, again, I think what you guys do here in terms of, you know, in vis-a-vis taking people's dreams,
sure,
and ideas
now,
and painting them into beautiful portraits on the silver screen.
Jason, what makes you think you are qualified to be my second assistant?
Oh, okay. Number one, I know I was late for the interview, but I'm always on time.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, discretion.
Uh-huh.
I'm a very private person, and I would assume that you are too, and I will keep all of your secrets, whatever I get access to, whatever I see.
What do you imagine my secrets are?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, this is Hollywood, right? Everybody's just putting their fingers in each other's butts, aren't they? At least that's what I've heard. But, you know, that's the kind of thing that, like, rest assured, locked away. I'm not talking to anybody about it. Not even, like, my best friend.
Are you able to multitask outside of your...
Sure, yeah.
Video,
yeah,
game.
No, I can
playing,
like
stoned little brain.
Sure. That's funny. I don't play video games, but I am stoned a lot. Not now. I mean, a little, like, residual, but, like, not really. No, like, I'm pretty on it right now, but, like, I can, like, I could, like, for example, like, I can answer emails and roll a joint at the same time. That's multitasking, right?
All right. So, Jason, so
did you do all these movies? Posters in here?
Yes.
All these? Wow. Yeah.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah, you.
So, what do you guys do? Like 200 movies a year?
No.
What do you
Jason,
put out? Like 500 movies a year?
A little annoyed that you didn't do any research on our company.
Well, I Googled you. Googled you and I was like, oh boy. How's a pretty lady become like the captain of industry that you are?
What do you,
you know? I looked you up because.
What do you mean pretty?
When I saw that it was like a woman that I was going to be meeting with, I was like, oh boy, a woman who runs a company. She must be a real DOG, you know? A real dog. Because, you know, you know what I mean. And then I looked you up and I was like, ooh la la. You know, like, holy cow, this is like
French,
a fan.
Huh? Do you speak French or?
But of course. And I was like, wow, she has it all. And you do. You know, you do. You got the brains and the looks, I got to tell you. And I don't mind telling you that every day when I bring you a green tea or a chai latte or whatever your personal drink is, you know, a gin.
Can I write that down?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, please go ahead and.
Thank you.
If you want, I'll write it down for you as your second assistant. Like, I don't feel like you should be bothered to, like, have to write.
Please do.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then let me ask you a few other questions.
Of course. Yeah, please. You go right ahead.
So now, because you are a business major mm-hmm. and now you're moving into.
I should tell you, I did not graduate.
Ah, so. You have lied on your resume.
You know what? I intended to finish. I still might. My dad says he'll pay for it if I get a job for me to finish up.
So ethically, how do you justify lying on your resume?
Oh, I just assume because it's Hollywood.
Fair enough. Yeah. I actually,
you know, my understanding is, this town is a sham.
Jason.
Yeah.
I want to tell you something.
Yeah. Please go right ahead.
You're an idiot.
I'm listening.
Like beyond comprehension, but I gotta say your honesty is unbelievably refreshing.
I see where this is going, and
no,
I just want to say
you got
I am
job.
Open to kissing.
Okay, and also welcome aboard.
Oh, thank you so much. I am
Donovan.
Beyond excited.
Guess who you're going to have to train.
Welcome to the team.
Oh, thanks, man. So stoked. You guys got a gym here?
Yes, we do.
Oh, great. I work out like 4 hours a day. Usually in the middle of the day.
Okay, so improv over.
Oh, improv over?
Improv over.
That's how that works?
But you
improv
were great.
Over. Oh, thank you so much. Okay, improv over.
But you did get the job.
Thank you.
I do sort of.
It meant a lot to me.
I really want to work with this guy. Okay, so John Newski on Facebook wants to know.
Newski!
Have you ever pooped your pants?
Yes. Well, I mean, yes, obviously. We all have. We were children who pooped our pants. As an adult, no, not really. Although I did, and I've told this story before, but I will tell it again. I did have like a wet fart situation happen. Like I wet the cheeks. You know, but I didn't poop my pants.
It's like when you think that a toot is ready to come out.
Where
like
were you when this happened?
I was in the men's room at working
on the dictator.
No, I wasn't. It was my first day of work at a job in a writer's room, and we broke at like noon or whatever, and like I went to the bathroom, like was standing at the urinal. Went to like give myself a little toot, relieve a little of the pressure in my tummy, and just like, and I was like, hang on, that didn't feel exactly right. So I went into the stall to just give it a gander, and sure enough, like there was stuff going on.
Are you boxers or briefs?
I am boxer briefs.
Well, that's important. Cause,
you're right. It is.
Yeah, because if you're, you know, loosey-goosey on that front, you don't want to be boxer.
No way. Oh, no. I'm not boxer anyway. Boxers are no good, I think.
They're kind of useless,
right? There's an excess of fabric that bunches up inside
right.
your pants.
And they're sexy for your girlfriend to wear at night or whatever.
Sure, but then just keep a bunch of boxers around to give to girls.
Right.
Right? But, just like a stack of girl boxers.
But the practical
here,
thing
here, sweetheart,
is...
here's your boxers. Now get out of here. Hard to believe I'm single, right, guys? So what I did was, I want to stress, I did not shit my pants. It was like, there was like a little bit of stuff. So
you Hershey squirted.
I Hershey squirted, but it wasn't even a Hershey squirts amount.
Okay.
But it was enough that it freaked me out.
Gotcha.
It freaked me out, and I was like, ooh, I bet this is going to smell. So right. I always carry a pocket knife with me, and so I took my pocket knife out. I cut my underwear off of myself, threw it in the garbage, cleaned myself up, wiped myself off. Boom. Back in the room.
Wait, why did you use a pocket knife?
Because I was sitting down on the toilet. Here's why. I'm sitting down on the toilet, okay? I go from the urinal into the bath, into the stall.
Right.
I sit on the toilet, pull my stuff down, I sit on the toilet, I wipe myself, I clean my biz up,
right.
okay? And then I'm like, what do I do here? Now, what I don't want to do is take my boots off, take my jeans off.
In case there's somebody in the stall.
In case there's somebody else there, right. and it's like, what's going on in here?
That makes perfect sense.
So I just cut, and now I've got my underwear off.
Right.
Put it up in paper towels, throw it in the garbage. And then, yeah, exactly. Continue to like clean myself up. And then I go back into the room, but I'm in like a full body sweat now. I'm like, now I've been through something, you know, like I
and
went
are
to
you
the bathroom and was gone a while.
Again?
No, like... no, no. I'm not worried it's going to happen again. Although if I had to fart again, I probably, although ever since then, like a lot of times when I have to fart, I'm like, don't do it. Because you don't know what's going to happen.
Right, right.
You know, so I'm like, that really did, like, affect me. And my, what I will describe as a rather laissez-faire attitude towards farting prior to.
Yes.
You know what yeah. I mean? Now, I take it much more seriously.
Yes, you don't want to force
you don't
anything.
Don't want to push. Don't, guys, don't push.
No
push. Don't push anything out.
No, no. My sweet husband will do this. And which
wait,
he...
Wait, Jason, describe what Anna just did, please.
I love that you're doing visuals on a podcast. Yeah, you just leaned over to give yourself a little toot room.
Yeah, toot room. Mm-hmm. But I tell you what, he's playing...
Oh, he's playing fast and loose.
And every time he does it, I'm like, baby.
And I also think, and having been talking to friends about this, as you get older, it gets worse. Like, as you get older... That line gets like a lot shadier. Like I was telling a friend this
the bowel
story.
Line.
Yeah, I was telling a friend this story, and he was like, "Oh, dude, since I turned 40, I've shit my pants like 4 times." In that scenario, where he thinks he's farting and instead like just turdlets himself.
Is it? Do you think it's like the arrogance of like
the hubris of I can fart and nothing will happen?
Like yeah, like. I'm in a relationship or like I've done this a lot in my life for 40 years.
Is that so how you're living?
I don't
know. You're just like, okay. I'm married. I can just like rip farts. No problem.
Oh, I have a bookstore problem.
What does that mean?
Like
bookstores make you gassy?
And it used to be Blockbuster because anytime where you're kind of relaxed and you're
You were relaxed
looking...
at Blockbuster?
Yeah, well, I wasn't looking for porn.
Well, you wouldn't have found it. Blockbuster is like... a very religious Blockbuster edited their movies to take out things that were too sexual. Like there was no pornography in Blockbuster, 100%.
Professor Mantzoukas,
yes,
tell us more about the pornography history of America and
now Hollywood Video. Oh boy!
wait, what would happen at bookstores and at Blockbuster?
Oh, bookstores!
You get so relaxed.
Library,
you fart.
Forget about it. Yeah, you just get relaxed. You're looking for things and suddenly you're like, oh, I don't know. Your body feels more relaxed and comfortable in a way that doesn't normally happen to most people. I would bet that if we did some Barnes & Noble employee interviews, they would be smelling a lot of gas, bodily gas.
Let's do it.
Let's do it.
Let's do it.
Mike, will you get on that? Alex, Sabir, sure. As our newest intern.
Guys.
You've said this for years. I know this about you.
Yeah.
The bookstore thing.
The bookstore thing. But
that you're the bookstore farter?
Can't you
I wonder
guys?
If like this is somebody's out there being like, ah, I knew it. That's she because she's the one.
Can anybody? Yeah, everyone can relate.
You're like, oh, you know what? Let's meet for chili and then go to block and then go to Barnes and Noble. We'll have like a 3-bean chili. We'll go to Barnes and Noble. We'll Rudy toot our brains out. We'll buy the next book from the Marie Kondo woman about tidying up. And then everything's going to be great.
Way better than a massage. You're a Capricorn.
No.
You're a Leo.
Nope.
You're a Cancer.
Nope.
You're an Aquarius.
Nope. Come on. Think about it. You're just running them through now.
What month were you born?
If I tell you that, then it's obvious.
Let's see if she knows.
You're a Gemini.
Nope.
You're a Pisces.
No, no.
You're a Scorpio.
Nope. Is this a recurring segment where you just sing? You sing the signs?
You're a Libra?
Nope.
You're a Sagittarian.
I am.
Me too!
I love that you guessed it last and it's your sign.
I just always assume. I never want to hope for the best, you know?
Oh, but yeah, but we're obviously the best. The
I
best
know,
together.
I know. What's your birthday?
December 18th.
Ah, November 29th.
Nice.
I know. I like it's it. True. Sagittarius do. I'm sorry.
Sagittarius do it better. I don't know much about it. I don't. I really don't. But when I feel like whenever someone is like, what's your sign? And I'm like, oh, Sagittarius. People are like, that makes sense. And I'm like, I don't like that.
Yeah, no.
Don't do
yeah,
that.
No.
That makes sense.
That
no, it doesn't.
Bad.
Shut up.
But I do think, I don't know. I don't subscribe to any of it either. But it is fun to think about. I do enjoy the idea of someone thinking out there that I'm a fire sign, you know, which means.
Is Sagittarius a fire sign?
I am. So sorry you do not know this, but yes.
Oh, I didn't
know.
We're
totally a fire sign.
Oh, cool. Great.
We control the whole power of the earth.
We control everything. That is for sure true. You and I. You and I specifically.
No, you weren't born in 1976, were you?
No, I was not. I was born in 1972.
Oh. Because I just happened to also be Year of the Dragon.
Oh, that's pretty cool. I don't know what I am in that sense. Oh, well. Probably Year of the Rat.
Smart, though.
Smart rat.
Smart and crafty.
Smart rat.
Good people skills.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so now we are going to go on to the segment of Jason.
Yes.
Mantzoukas.
Go.
Brought something weird.
Oh, yeah, I did.
Will you present it?
Sure.
And describe
wait,
watch, it.
Sit right there. What, Alex, will you grab that for us, that
yes.
painting thing behind?
Oh, my God, you really did. Jason Mantzoukas brought a painting.
You said bring something weird from your house. My house is full of weird things. This being one of them.
I love this. Okay. Here we go.
Wow, guys.
It's going to be revealed.
Wow.
I love that you do a piece on your podcast that is strictly visual.
Wait, describe that.
This looks like, it almost looks like Gloria Steinem, or who is this? Who is this person?
Is that your mom?
So wait, Jason has brought a painting, a yep. portrait that's fairly large.
It looks like an acrylic painting on canvas.
And it's a woman who's sort of looking intensely, but slightly off to the right.
She's wearing glasses.
She's got gold hoop earrings, like a striped shirt. It's not like
it
looks
like an 80s
it's
hairdo.
Not a sexual painting.
It's not a sexual painting. I love that that's a category of painting for you.
Well, isn't it, though?
Sure.
Because most women are, you
sexual?
Know, well, yes, but most, when you're a study of an artist.
Why did you change your voice when you do that?
When you're a study
ooh,
of an
artist. Now I'm listening.
All right, so Jason, what is the painting? Describe it to us.
The painting hangs in my house. It is, as you've described, a painting of a woman in glasses.
Look at my stars.
Hey-o.
Oh, who's here?
Just look at my stars.
Whoa.
Jack, say hi.
Hi.
Hello, Jack. Where'd you get stars?
Yeah. Do you know what they do?
What?
They glow
in the dark.
Yes, glow in the dark.
Yeah, glow in the dark. I knew it.
Oh, man, Jason's winning it all tonight.
Yeah.
Mommy, look at these. Look at this.
Awesome. Jack, I love you so much, honey.
I love you too.
Mwah.
And good night.
Good night.
I'm going upstairs.
Okay. All right. I'll come see you later.
Good night,
see
Jack.
See you later, alligator.
In a while, crocodile.
Aww.
Oh.
Good work, Jack.
So cute.
Okay, so we're back.
What the fuck was that?
It's the cute moment.
What, we just let kids wander into the podcast?
Yeah.
What the fuck is
it's
this?
It's called
What the
Anna
fuck
Faris
is going
is
on?
Cute
this is
in her family.
Untethered.
You didn't know.
This
you
is a know. Disaster. Kids just wandering in and out.
Yeah. Okay, sweet.
So I don't know
we,
if I
can
believe
we talk,
this.
Can we talk more about this?
Jason, can you please talk about this?
Sure.
So bring us back.
It is a weird painting. My house is full of weird paintings of weird people, this being one of my favorites. It is a woman. I believe it was painted in 1979, it says. In 1979, it's a woman in a striped 70s kind of wide-collared shirt. She has like a 70s short kind of up hairstyle. Gold-rimmed glasses, and she's looking like the look on her face. I always say is her looking at the person who's painting the picture and going, "Gary, are you painting me?" Like she's just busted him, like painting her.
What do you think her name is?
I call her Pam.
Oh, I love it.
Because she seems like a Pam to me. I'm very fond of Pams. Yeah, that's about it.
She does look a little bit like. She's beautiful, but she does look a little annoyed.
She looks annoyed. Yeah, yeah. She looks nervous. The look on her face, like you don't often see somebody painted in a picture with a look that is upset or nervous, or you're not doing it exactly. There's like there's more of a furrow to the brow. There's more of a, it's like there's something more intense about it. Yeah, that's a little better. That's pretty good. That's pretty good.
My lips aren't as full as hers.
She has very full lips, probably from sucking dick.
I heard that's how you glues your lips.
What?
That's why I have such thin lips.
Yeah, girl! Can't stop sucking that dick! Don't have any lips! Wait, that's not a real thing. Is that like a thing that girls tell each other? Like if you give a blowjob, your lips get less puffy. Or whatever.
Yeah, that's what we tell each other. That's why. Like that's why we don't give men blowjobs anymore. That's why we're not whores. Come on,
what?
Jason.
What? No, I mean in like high school, like you know
we
when you like
sabotage
trade
each other
when you trade stories like apocryphal stories about like
right.
If you did this, if you do this, then this bad thing happens. You know what I mean?
No,
listen,
you know what?
I know
you
everybody's
know what,
blowing.
You know what
everybody.
Happens? It's like if you don't go down on that guy, if you don't have sex with that guy, then you're going to be an outcast. It's more of like. A doomsday and a guy's to the men's advantage.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
But it sounds like what you're saying is that like society is set up so that men win and women lose. And we all know that's like the opposite of what the case is. Like we essentially live in a matriarchy, right? Am I cool now to talk about?
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Trump?
Yeah.
And how I
yeah.
love Trump. No, I'm just kidding. I just like launched into a very Actually, severe no, like, though, Trump supportive
speech.
It
is really kind of... It's,
ooh, it's wild. It's
fun.
What he's up to is wild.
It is. It is wild. It is wild. It's like we are like as Americans, not just as Americans, internationally, the whole world is on the Trump ride of a lifetime.
It's pretty interesting. And I'm also like, it's interesting and fascinating, but I'm also like, beyond this, like who is out there who's looking at how far Donald Trump has gotten, which is incredibly far, and is like, oh, if he can do that, fuck yeah, I can do it. You know, like what are the lessons learned from this?
I think I was that. I mean, I decided to move to Hollywood and I was like, I can make it.
Yeah. But I mean, like, I feel like in 4 years, are we going to see like Mark Cuban running for president?
Oh,
are we going to
love that?
Like, does Alec Baldwin run for president from the left? Because he's,
I mean,
like,
Ronald
fuck it,
Reagan,
if Trump can
we
run,
had it. Like, we've
yeah,
already done it.
Sure. But I mean, like, Ronald Reagan, like, at the very least, had some, even at that point, some degree of like political behind him.
He'd
already involved himself in politics by the time he's running for president. Trump is like, this is nonsense. It's fascinating nonsense, but yeah, it's interesting. Like what will be the, it's interesting to watch as it's happening, but what will be the aftermath? Like how does this affect future elections?
Well, I think, I mean,
this is a political show, right?
Yep.
This is Slate Culture Gap. This is Slate Political Talk, right?
This is for if you can stay after.
This is the after show?
Yeah, the after show. Okay, so now we are going to go to some callers because actually, Jason, I really do want to talk to you about this, but I think it'll bore.
No. Let's move on. I don't care.
No, but I really do because I'm fascinated by it.
All right. Should we call someone right now?
I just wonder if I'm at a nightclub. No, keep calling. But if I'm at a nightclub, Donald, like 2 years from now, Donald Trump says, can I buy you a cognac?
Hello?
Hey, Cameron, hang on a second. Donald Trump is about to buy a cognac.
What a legendary move.
I think you say yes, 100%.
We were just saying if in 2 years, if Donald Trump...
Why
I'm
in
at
two
a nightclub.
Years?
Well,
what
just,
nightclub?
What nightclub?
What's that?
The nightclub. Well, so if I'm at a nightclub, and this is a scenario that
Wait,
will
I
never
think,
ever
have we
happen.
We called someone to ask
old.
Them a question.
Cameron? Yeah, no. Cameron is on the line right now.
Cameron,
she's,
yeah.
She's in
okay,
Los
let's
Angeles.
Say,
oh,
let's,
here in LA.
Cameron, you're at a nightclub in 2 years,
okay.
And Donald Trump.
President Trump. It's 2 years from now, so President Trump. Please.
Okay, we're live.
So he wants to buy you a cognac and wants to engage in a little bit of conversation. What do you do? Mm-hmm. You have to do it, right?
Yeah. What are we doing?
Wait, yeah. We'll ask her. Yeah.
Oh, sorry. You looked right at me.
I know.
Hey, Cameron. Jason Mantzoukas is here with us, by the way.
Hello, Cameron.
Oh, my God. What's up?
Hey, girl. What's happening?
I mean, not too much.
Really?
I'm just trying to consider right now. Is my drink roofied?
No.
Is your drink loopy?
No, roofied.
Roofied. Oh, roofied.
If President Trump is trying to... No, no.
Oh,
no,
I
think anytime you get a chance to talk... Cameron, you can answer after I answer because...
Hey,
I'm
Cameron, are
talking.
You on speakerphone?
No.
You're not?
Nope.
Okay.
Cameron, don't you fucking lie to us. Are you on a goddamn speakerphone?
But Cameron, I feel like Donald Trump is arrogant enough that he feels like roofies, he doesn't need them, right?
I don't think Donald Trump's trying to roofie anybody. I think if you get a chance to talk to anybody, you talk to them.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, I think I'm taking the drink.
But then he says, I'm in the presidential suite.
Okay.
Oh, no.
So now he wants to go to the bone zone?
Do you want
to
come up? Come on up. He doesn't say, do you? He never asks a question. No. Yeah. He says, you.
So the question is, do you fuck Donald Trump?
Yeah, I guess so.
What?
But do you at least go up to the suite and see what's going on?
What? No.
But what if he's got tons of security so you feel safe because there's so many security people around?
I think you go.
What? Guys, whoa.
Wait, I mean,
no.
Just because you're fascinated by what's going to... You want to tell the story, right, Cameron? Is that why you'd go?
Absolutely.
You would go to his room?
I'm sort of with Cameron.
Whatever happens next, if you think his Secret Service is on your side, you're out of your mind. If you think you're going to be like, hey, Jimmy, Kevin, my butthole's getting fingered. I don't want it. They're going to be like, President Trump, looks like you got this. And they're walking out the door. Their loyalty is to him, not you.
But what about when we did the secret handshake?
What secret handshake?
I did with the Secret Service, you know.
Oh, because they're the Secret Service, you think they have a secret handshake? And that just means they're on your side. You're like, that is a very naive move. And I would like to say to all
Jason,
the listeners,
I'm sorry
Cameron
that
and all
you're a man.
Don't go to anyone's hotel room.
To President Trump's presidential suite. I'm sorry that you will never have that opportunity.
I am not sorry.
Well, Cameron, let's talk about you for a second.
Okay.
Your best male friend is gay, and he's attracted to the straight man you're currently dating. Interesting scenario. Let's see if Jason and Nana can help you navigate this awkward situation. So tell us a little bit more.
So, first of all, too, so my friend actually set me up with this guy under sort of like, I don't know. He was like, you need to date better guys. Like, he knew this guy before, so he set me up with this guy. And as we started to hang out, he is like now since threatened to not be friends with either of us anymore. And, the guy that I'm dating, like, doesn't know that my friend has feelings for him. And so it just put me in this really uncomfortable position because, like, I had to lie to him all weekend about, like, where I was because I'm, like, afraid he's not going to speak to me anymore.
Oh,
you,
no.
You had to lie to the friend, not your boyfriend.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, boy.
Oh, I mean.
I know. And I have
an answer. Is this a game? How does this work? Cameron, is your life a game for me? How does this work?
Jason's old and bitter.
I'm old and I'm bitter. No, here's the thing. Cameron, I mean, forgive me, but I'm going to just go here. Your friend is being a terrible friend. You know, like it's your friend who set you up. For him to give you the opportunity to fall in love with someone and then for himself to then not be generous enough to let you follow through with that, but to want it for himself is selfish. And is not a kind or generous move on his part. And he should know better. He should, if he had feelings for this man, he should have not set you up with him and he should have tried to date him himself. And if he failed, that would have been that. But he shouldn't include you in his own personal drama. He shouldn't be selfless enough to set you up with someone that he selfishly wants to be with. And so you are caught up in his drama, and that's, frankly, like, just not a good friend.
Yeah. Jason, awesome advice. I also think, too, though, that probably part of the complication is that your gay friend might be jealous of just not maybe seeing you as much, not feeling as included as much or whatever or other else. But all the same, it's the same. Jason put it perfectly. Your friend is not being a good friend. And
I mean, like, I believe.
So then, what do I do?
He set you up, so I believe he has like a goodwill towards you. I mean, like, I think you can talk to him. I don't know, but I think it's worth a conversation to some degree or another about
a subtle distancing too.
Oh, really? How good a friend is this, Cameron? Social friend or like dear friend?
No, like absolute best friend.
Oh, you got to tell me that.
Yeah,
you're gonna have to have a very awkward conversation. But you're going to have that conversation under the presumption of, like, listen, we're about to have a very awkward conversation. It's going to be difficult. And it's my intention that we get through this so that our friendship is because it's so important to me, and it has been long lasting that we get through to the other side of this so that we can remain friends, blah, 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 blah. But if
he doesn't take it well, then that means that there might be a little bit of a cooling off period.
Maybe. And also, don't make it about, I mean, really, don't make it about your boyfriend or the guy, you know what I mean? Like, this is a problem between you and your friend, the guy notwithstanding. Like, he doesn't, it's not about him, what he wants, his intentions, blah, blah, blah. It really is just you and your friend.
I mean, he doesn't know anything about any of this.
Oh, like, you should tell him.
You gotta tell him now, Cameron.
I tell him.
Yes, tell him now. How long have you been dating this guy?
Like a month, like very beginning of the relationship.
Oh, how many times have you gone out?
Like almost every single weekend since we started dating.
Oh, okay.
And like twice during the week. Like I've like this, it's like almost now, like, consuming my life.
Oh, and you're in love. You love him.
I do. I love him.
You do? Like, you love him?
After a month. Nice work.
No. But like,
I'm like that. I'm that total person who's, Cameron, you don't have to apologize to these yahoos. I'm the kind of person who's like, one date or whatever. I'm just like,
I'm the opposite. I'm like a true cynic.
Well, cynical Manzoukas just rolls off the tongue.
Yeah, it does.
I
think it's worth having a conversation with the boyfriend to let him know a little bit. You don't have to let him know everything because you don't have to also... It's also for you to work out with your friend what's going on in your relationship. Like, you don't have to, neither do you have to keep your boyfriend in the dark, nor do you have to, like, share with him all of the intimate details of your very real friendship. You know, like, neither should he be poisoned against your friend, because it sounds like they have a pre-existing friendship.
Are they close buddies?
Yeah, they're close. They've like they know each other from like childhood, and then they didn't go to high school. They didn't go to high school or college together. But now that we all live out in LA, they've like gotten close again, and
So wait, why hasn't the guy that you're dating right now, he hasn't spoken to your best friend about this at all?
Like, he knows that we've been hanging out, but like he for sure has no idea that Max would have any sort of like feelings towards him, and like my fear with saying anything to him would be that like it would almost feel like a predatory relationship, like with his friends with Max,
Would it be better if your boyfriend, or if you guys whatever have defined that yet, like mentioned it to
you? Think he should mention it first?
Maybe if they've known each other for so long, then maybe that's a more appropriate idea.
What is
a more appropriate idea is for the guy that she's dating to mention it to her friend first, because they've known
they've known each other since
like kindergarten or whatever.
Right, but isn't Cameron having the problem with with her friend?
Did you go on a little mental vacation?
Yeah, but
I know they've known each other for a long time.
Yeah, but the boyfriend and they were childhood
friends.
You don't think that they should? That the boyfriend should potentially say.
So you think like Cameron should excuse herself from this?
Not excuse herself, but I just wonder if the initial conversation should
make it like a group conversation.
Oh, I have a question.
I don't think it should be group because
Cameron,
then feel
I have a
ganged up
no.
on.
Anna, I'm on your side.
Yeah,
Cameron, how did this setup go? Did your friend tell him to go after you, or you to go after him?
He told me to go after him.
Then you need to have the conversation with him.
Okay.
That's what I think. Because
the
friend is Cameron's best friend. Is he also your boyfriend's best friend?
No, but they're very close.
They're very close. They've been close forever. But I think like the transaction was between friend and Cameron, not friend and boyfriend.
Right. Yeah.
In which, if it was... the friend told the boyfriend, you should ask Cameron out. Then I would say you're right, and that the boys should talk about it.
Are you good at chess?
Oh, I'm a real strategist.
It seems like it. But I think this is really good advice, Jason.
I also, if I was Cameron, I would not want to outsource this conversation to these two dummies.
Hey, what the hell?
No.
What about the brilliant third party member being Jason Manzoukas?
No, I'm saying the boys are the dummies. Oh, the two boys are the dummies. You know what I mean? Like, I would not, if I'm Cameron, I don't like, I don't think like, oh, you guys go have a conversation and figure it out.
You don't trust them.
Those two dudes are only
going to
make it worse.
Right, right.
Like, Cameron, a level-headed, normal person, needs to take this by the scruff of the hair and of the neck or
Jason,
whatever, and,
say,
and deal with it.
So what should Cameron say exactly?
Well, I don't know. Cameron's an adult woman. How old are you, Cameron?
23.
What's your cup size?
And you do not have to answer that.
No, these are relevant.
Jeez,
this is a relevant piece of information.
Jason.
Cameron.
Get back in the corner,
Cameron,
Jason.
Cameron, you don't have to answer that, but just like a general sense of cup size. No, Cameron is an adult woman who probably has a C cup, I'm guessing. And I suspect she is able to take care of a conversation like this with a friend and get through it appropriately. You know, with her own words.
I think definitely, And you know what? Your friend will reveal himself a little bit and how he sort of deals with it. Because a good friend will be like, it might take a minute, but will be totally understanding. And a bad friend will be like making a ton of drama.
Yeah, that's true.
Right.
And I mean, in reality, you're 23. So these are all like... These are all friendships and relationships and everything that are, that I feel like that are figuring it all out. You know what I mean? I mean,
right.
I don't want to sound like I'm the old guy being condescending or whatever, but like,
no, you're not at all.
These
Jason.
Are all, these are all of, these are the important, relationship conversations that, that build you into the person you are as a friend and as a, as someone in a relationship, partner in a relationship. All of these difficult conversations, not just the falling in loves and the wonderful thises and the thats and the hand jobs and everything. It's just, it's like the, it's the wonderful, you know, like it's, the, it's not just the wonderful stuff. These are the hard work elements of stuff.
And I do, I think, I really think that your friend will, he, maybe he'll be hurt for a little while, but if he cherishes you, which I don't know. I think that he probably does. He'll come back, but it might be a minute. He might have to, like, you know, do a little bit of a, you know, selfish thing, because it is his concerns are truly like pretty selfish a little bit, I think.
Right.
And you should know that.
That was beautiful.
You have reinforcement from us.
Hey, Cameron, we have to go, but send me an email.
You.
Let me know how it goes after you have this conversation, and good luck.
Sure.
Yeah,
thank
will you
so
please,
much.
Will you please, Cameron?
Very helpful.
Cameron, yeah, please let us know.
Day.
Thank you.
Good
Thanks
night.
For calling.
Good night, y'all.
Take care,
thank
Cameron.
You.
I have a question for the men. Okay, so when cup size is over, like when people get too adjusted to cup size, do you think there's ever going to be like a labia size, like fascination?
I don't think so.
No?
Not for me.
It's interesting. I don't think so. Because
like, does
vaginas
you have small,
are,
medium, or large labia?
Like, there's such a wide differentiation in how vaginas look.
True.
Really?
That it's not about size. It's not about, it's really like, it's like, it's a whole look thing. And I don't think, like, I think what did happen, or what, in that region, I feel like pubic hair is the defining aesthetic.
Now, are you
the thing that
aesthetically, pro-pubic or are you anti-pubic?
Oh, I don't care. Frankly, I'm like, whatever makes
any
someone
open hole.
Feel sexy, whatever makes oh yeah, as long as it's a sloppy wet hole. Oh God, I'm gonna get in it. Uh-oh, I'm done. No, I don't care, frankly. I don't care. I think whatever makes the person feel sexy and feel good, I'm happy with that. If they want a full 70s bush, terrific. If they want, like, nothing, fine, whatever. You know, it's not, I'm not very, I don't think there is a specific aesthetic that is preferred for me, if that makes sense.
That does.
But I think that's, in the groin area for women, I think that is the aesthetics. It has been placed on pubic hair versus, like, vaginal shape or, like, labia size.
It definitely, well, there's all kinds of, you know, rejuvenation stuff now going on and like, oh yeah.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers. With rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's stamps.com. Code program.
Hello.
Polly.
Hi, Polly.
Yes. Hello.
How are you?
So well.
I like
so
that we don't identify
guys.
Ourselves.
We're
hello,
to.
Polly. And then Polly's just like, yup.
Hi, Polly.
Polly, you know Anna's here. That's Anna's voice. Can you recognize this voice right now? Say something.
Hello, Polly. How are you?
Who is that, Polly?
That's a tough...
It sounds iconic, but I'm drawing a nervous blank.
How dare you? How dare you, Polly? Polly, you are now my enemy.
No.
You are my sworn enemy.
Oh, no.
No,
we are
Polly,
enemies. We're Polly, fighting, Polly.
My dear friend Jason Mantzoukas, who has a hysterical podcast. He was also in The Dictator with me, and he's really funny, and he actually surprisingly gives amazing advice.
Polly, I'm good at this. Don't worry about it. I'm going to take care of you.
He's okay, like, amazing.
He's like a free... You are a free therapist.
Oh, yeah. Oh, wait, no, I'm not getting paid for this. Polly, I'm going to give you my PayPal account so you can just send me a quick something.
All right,
fair enough.
Polly, you've been keeping your boyfriend a secret from your family for a while now. Why don't you tell us why?
Absolutely, yeah. So I'm in this amazing relationship with my best friend in the whole world, and he comes from a Jewish family, a Jewish background, and I come from a long line of conservative Christians. And so it's been made very clear to me through the years that, you know, people who are different aren't necessarily like acceptable as, you know, life partners or significant others. So, you know, he's a secret, and it's definitely weighing on me.
Oh, Polly, that sounds awful. I'm so sorry.
Yeah, it's definitely a tough, not fun situation.
So you haven't introduced him at all to your family, not even like friend capacity?
Do they know him as your friend? Yeah.
Yes. They know him, and they were like very suspicious. So I've known him for 4 years. We met in college.
Polly, how old are you?
I'm 23. I know I'm a little one.
Okay. I'm listening.
So no.
Oh,
no,
Polly,
no.
Be prepared. I'm also going to be a real pervert about this.
I know he did get a creepy little look behind his eyes.
All right. I hear you.
So don't you worry. You're from a religious conservative background. Ooh, you dirty little minx. Okay, 23. Polly, go ahead.
Jason is taking notes.
On the outside, it doesn't look like he's taking this seriously, but he really is.
We all are. Because this is actually... Yes. Okay, sorry. Go on. But this is a real conundrum.
I believe you. I hear you. It's the kind of situation where you have to laugh about it. Otherwise, it just like makes you crazy. So I'm 23, living in New York, living with the boy.
Ooh, wait a minute. Time out. Polly, time out. You are living together?
Yes.
How long have you been living together?
Just since January. That's like new.
Okay, got it. Okay. All right, continue.
Yeah, so just since January. And then, and so my family's known him for 4 years, and they know we're very, very close, but they've like even voiced concerns just in terms of us even being as close as we are, because I think that they see him as like some sort of, a romantic threat, which is just like crazy.
Well, they might see him also as a Jewish demon. So you got to be careful about that.
Yeah.
Oh,
Polly,
this is tough.
This is tough. Here's the. Wait. Do you have anything more to share, Polly? Otherwise, I'm going to jump.
I have a few questions.
Not really. That's essentially the situation. I feel very lucky because I'm in a very happy, healthy relationship. And I think that the thing that just is the toughest is it is like the happiest facet of my life, and it's hard to not share that with people. You know, my family.
Well, okay. So this is, you are really in love with this person, right?
Oh, yeah.
Even though he's Jewish.
Jason.
I'm just kidding, Polly. I'm truly just kidding.
That is such a non-factor.
But I think that you have to, at some point, it's all about timing. But what you're going to have to do is when the timing is right, and it can't be around a holiday, you have to tell your family, you have to be prepared to give your family a little bit more credit or benefit of the doubt, maybe, because I think that they let you go to New York. You're living there like you are, you know, an independent woman, and they want to protect you in all ways, but you may not be, I think maybe they will take the news potentially a little better than you would ever expect.
May I?
You may.
Okay.
Pervy.
Polly. and I say this with the utmost respect. I think this is going to be a defining moment in your relationship with your family. And whether it is predicated on a conversation about your Jewish boyfriend, or if this were to go away and you were to have another boy, at some point, you are racing towards a very difficult interaction with your family. Whether it's predicated on this or something else, it's going to happen. And so for you, I think you need to really wrap your mind around how you can do this in a way that protects you and, in this instance, to be specific, protects your relationship. Because what I hear from you is that this relationship genuinely matters to you and that it means something to you that is important. And you should... at 23, living in New York, basically an adult, you should be able to be making choices in your life for yourself, for your own happiness, that do not, I don't want to sound mean, but do not take your family into consideration. It's not important what they think. It's not important that you live up to any of their dictates or how they have lived their life. That's ultimately, you can choose it if you want, but it sounds like they're very closed-minded and conservative, and I would say you should not choose that. You should choose the not version of that.
If you have parents that are obsessively in love with you,
And I think this is also and I don't know what your family situation is, Polly, but you're, again, I don't want to sound condescending, but you're at that age where you are having to establish yourself as an individual apart from your family. And it sounds like your family is very tight and very, it is trying to exert control over you. And you need to step up and set boundaries. You need to let your family know where and when they are allowed to participate in your life and your life choices and where they are not, because those are the things that are increasingly now your family was able to make decisions for you and now less so. And you need to show them, that you are able to make those decisions for yourself successfully. And they're either, and frankly, they're either on board or they're not. And at that point it's on them. You do you, baby. Come on.
You do you, baby.
You do you, right?
not to like add an extra layer to this scenario, but okay. So I am an identical twin.
Ooh.
And she knows about this relationship. She's keeping a secret, but like her lifestyle is just very, very different than mine. So I think my biggest fear is that comparison too. You know what I mean? It's like, though we came from the same cloth, we're like just doing completely different things with our lives and like with our choices. And I think that that is another like fear factor.
Does she disapprove? Is she of the opinion of your parents or no?
She loves him.
Oh,
she
great.
Just, she, it's not what she would ever do. Like she would never go against mom and dad in this way.
You're breaking my heart, Polly. You're breaking my heart.
Oh, sorry.
Only because at a certain point, you're going to have to go against mom and dad. And your sister is going to have to figure that out for herself as well. Because while it is lovely to be a child and to have parents that care and love you and are guiding you through life and have beliefs and tenets that are important to them and that matter and that are based on a tradition that is appropriate, it needn't be how you live. Like you don't need mm-hmm. you just because you were born into this doesn't mean that is what you're doing. You know, you can assert yourself as an individual. And it's so interesting that you have a twin because that is like the absolute, like, that comparison is always going to be there. But doesn't matter. Regardless, you're always going to have to assert yourself as an individual.
Yeah.
Even in the face of like an identical twin sister. Mm-hmm.
You have to. Yep. You gotta, you do you.
You do you, right? I mean, like, it sounds like you're in love, and that's like, and wait, and he's
and
like, he treats you well. It sounds
and,
like it's a good relationship. Like,
oh my gosh, it's the best. It literally, he's so wonderful. I know
great.
That I'm literally the luckiest girl on the planet.
Oh, that's wonderful, Polly. And listen, you know what?
And if your parents can't get on board for that, shame on them.
You know what? They will. I gotta believe they will, though. I really think they will.
I hope they do.
It's
it might take
a couple months.
Ooh, I'll say this. You, Polly, have the benefit of knowing that this is going to be difficult for them. So, so if you come into this from the point of view of trying to explain to them why this matters to you, rather than just if you are proactive in this explanation and what's going on, rather than reactive. And just fighting like you're the daughter who's getting, you know, told what's up by her parents. But like you need to be the adult and behave like an adult. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You have that ability because you know the conversation you're going to have. So be prepared.
Mm-hmm.
Think about it. Think about how you're going to say it, whether you want your sister there or not, as an ally or not, or whatever.
Jason Manzoukas is really good at this.
He really is. I mean, I agree with everything Jason is saying. Polly, when are you going to have this conversation with your parents?
That's a really good question. I've been putting it off and putting it off. The reality is we're going home to see his family this weekend. They know about me and they love me and they're super supportive of us. And I'm tired of like lying when I go on these trips. So I think I'm going to be transparent this weekend about going home with him and just seeing if that opens the door and just being like prepped accordingly because I've been putting it off way too long.
I think that's okay. I think it would be worth.
I was going to say, you don't sound enthused about that idea. So if you have a better plan, let me know.
I mean, I guess what I would do, you're putting yourself strategically. You're putting yourself at a weaker position by doing it that way, because what you're doing is you're opening the door a crack and are like, if they come through the door, then I'll show them the house, you know. But I feel like it might be worth it for you to actually, and I don't know where you're from or how this is, if this is even possible. Like, I would, this is maybe going to sound whatever, but I would treat this as if you were coming out to your parents. I would sit with your parents in the room and tell them what you want them to know about your relationship. I don't think you should.
Okay.
I don't think you should be cryptic. I don't think you should be vague about it so that they have to come at you, because then you're putting yourself in the position of reacting. They're going to assume the worst, right? They're going to go all the way there. And so then you can't come, you can't have a logical conversation with people who are already assuming the worst. So you need to give them the correct information. This is what's happening, the so that they understand the parameters of your life rather than the question marks from them of like, well, what is the, but like, show them that you're an adult making adult decisions for yourself and that they can be on board for that or not, you know?
You're so good.
It's your story to tell. They're only your parents. I know that sounds crazy, but it's your, the beauty of this is like, you have someone supporting you. You have a great guy in your life. And yes, it's gross. He's Jewish. I know. But, I think for you, like, take that as like, use that, use the strength of your relationship as firm footing to launch an attack on the insanity of your parents' belief system. Done and done. Now, Polly, very quickly, what's your cup size? I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding.
I'm sorry.
Don't answer that because I'm a real joker today.
Polly,
I'll take it.
Polly, thank you
so much
for hanging out with us tonight.
Will you let us know how everything goes?
Send me an email and then update us with everything and best of luck with this. I know this is really tough.
I do think that Jason is right.
Jason's completely right.
It's like...
I usually am, guys.
And you know what? I bet your parents are going to surprise you with...
I hope so.
I hope so, too.
But
I really hope so.
But also, again, just like you would to a friend or to anybody, your parents are... Treat them the way that you would treat anybody who can and will make bad decisions. You can assume your parents might not be great about this at first or at the beginning or on first, you know, hearing about it. Be generous to your parents. Let them, because they're, if you can predict how they're going to be, that is how they're going to be at first. So if you cannot take the bait and get sucked into whatever the dynamic that you have as like parent daughter friction is, don't, if you can like try to not step on the landmines that are how you guys fight or how whatever you come at things, so that it will be awesome if they are come at you and they are surprisingly accepting, but you need to presume they're not going to be and be prepared to speak to that cogently and thoughtfully about your life.
Easier
said than done, but I'll definitely keep you guys posted.
Thanks, Polly.
Thank you, Polly.
We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you so much.
Good night.
All right. So I guess now I've gotten when Sim twirls his finger around into the air, I guess that means...
Means wrap it up?
I guess. Do it again, Sim, and let's see if I can interpret. Oh, yep. Okay. Wrap it up. Or is a tornado coming? Anyway, thank you, Jason, so much. Tonight,
well, I feel bad that I just like monopolized the call-in segment.
It was incredible. Seriously incredible to watch.
We've had some really great guests give incredible advice, but I think you kind of take the cake.
And I'm also completely impressed.
Thank you, guys.
I know, and you have this look on your face of like, of course. And
a total perv.
Can I ask you some personal advice after we stop recording?
Of course.
Yippee.
Always. You know I'm always here for you.
Oh, thanks. Well, thanks, Mike. Thanks, Sim Sarna. Thanks, Sevier, for being here. Thanks, Alex
Facebook
Holden.
Facebook and Twitter. Please leave us a review on iTunes.
That's true. We do read them.
And Jason's podcast is How Did This Get Made? And you also have a movie coming out. It's called...
It's called Search Party. It comes out in May. I think it's in May.
May 13th.
May 13th. Okay, great. Yep.
All right.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks a lot.
This was a blast.
That's why do I do that?
Is that your sign off? Is that your signature sign off?
I don't know. It's great.
It's a great sign off.
It's great.
You should keep that.